We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So let's get to some questions, Ryan. And if you guys have some questions, we'll get to that. But let me see here real quick. I want to start off here at the top. We got Brandon Plensner says, who are the top of the board Viper prospects in the 2024 class? And if Wafel commits to Notre Dame, the staff can now focus on the top of the board D-line targets. So who would the guys be in your opinion? Look, we'll Brandon, we'll talk more about this in the next show. I'm going to give you three names to look for, but we'll dive into them even further for the next show. Yep. The three names that I consistently hear Notre Dame associated with who they like on the defensive line, there are several guys, but the three that I hear, Nigel Smith, Elijah Rushing, and Jayshon Ross. Those are the three names to know. I think Ross is right now a Viper. I think that Rushing is a Viper who could eventually grow into a big end. He's a good-sized kid already. Nigel Smith is more of a big end three tech kind of guy. Those are the three names you're going to see. You're going to see Notre Dame really start to zero in on, of course. And then in the 2023 class, you're going to have Jason Moore's really the only guy that I have left.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now, you mentioned it perfect. I mean, Elijah Rushing, 6'5", 225. He's only a sophomore in high school, so he very well could be end up in that big end mold. But right now, I would say he's a Viper to start. Jayshon Ross, like you said, is about 6'4", 220. He's got kind of that sleek build to him. And then, man, Nigel Smith's maybe my favorite player in the 2024 class so far. I mean, 6'5". That kid's, I mean, last time I talked to him, he said he was already 265, 270. So the kid is massive, but it's a great frame. Like, there's just not a ton of weight on his frame. So He's a guy that I think is going to be 300 pounds kind of at the blink of an eye. He, I think, is the Stephon Tuitt type player. Like, I think that's who he is going to be. That's who he reminds me of a ton from a just a play style perspective. So, yeah, Nigel Smith's incredible. To the question, though, it would definitely be Ross, and rushing for the Viper spot right now.
Because Brandon Davis Swain obviously is a big end, three tech. Owen Waifel would be a nose guard if they are to get him here at 3 o'clock, which will, again, we're going to be going live at 3 o'clock. So if you're listening via podcast, this is our, this event has already happened, but we will have a show on that as well. So MT41 says, who in your opinion has more upside, Tobias Merriweather or Braylon James? My answer, Tobias Merriweather. What's your answer?
Really? My answer, I think, was going to shock you, because I'm actually going to go with Braylon James. I think that Tobias has a much higher floor because he's a more advanced route runner, obviously, right now than a Braylon James. But I think when you're talking about, like, I mean, Braylon James could be 6'2 with vines for arms and be 200 plus pounds, and he's a 4'4 athlete already. So I think that his upside is insane. I mean, I think that Tobias has great upside as well, but Braylon James, if he hits a ceiling, could be one of the better receivers come out of Notre Dame in a few years, in my opinion.
I don't disagree necessarily with that. I'm just a lot higher on Tobias Merriweather than most people are. I think when you look at some of his track times, you know, Tobias was a kid that, you know, won the 100, 200, 400 meter championship in his district in the same day. You know, he's got some speed to him as well. I think he's obviously, you talk about Braylon James being 6'4". I see 6'2", 6'3". Tobias is already 6'4". I think the thing that you're spot on is Braylon, to me, brings more natural explosiveness to the table.
Yeah.
But the thing that we don't often talk enough about, I mean, because, like, I'm looking at, like, Tobias's best time. His best track time was a 10.95. Right. That's good, but that's not elite, right? We're talking about other guys running like 10.6s and 10.7s, right? His 200 meter best time was a 22, right? So he's a good athlete. But I think number one is he's a skinny kid. And I think he's going to get faster as he gets older. But we talked earlier about, you know, guys that you don't have to be a burner and all that. To me, the thing that often gets missed in the conversations I have with other people about Tobias is he's got good speed for his size, but he has a very advanced feel for the game that doesn't get talked about enough. And if Tobias would have played at an Austin Westlake instead of the school he played at, his numbers would have been stupid. He's a really good football player, and he's still really skinny. So there's still a lot of room for physical growth with Tobias Merriweather. So he gets it because just his ball skills are phenomenal. His catch radius is incredibly wide. He's not as explosive as Braylon, and I think that is where I would be willing to accept an argument for Braylon James. But the best thing about it, though, is as we are talking about gap closing, like MT says, who in Europe has more upside, Tobias or Braylon James? The reality is that it doesn't matter because they both play for Notre Dame now. That's the important thing, right? And that's where, you know, we get these hypotheticals. Who would you rather have, this guy or this guy? And my answer is always like, well, if you're trying to win a championship, both, right? Like, don't make me pick between the two. And that's what Notre Dame has done by being able to get Tobias Merriweather and Braylon James is – whoever ends up having the highest upside, I hope it's a battle. I hope it's a debate for 4 years, right? Because, well, 3 years, because that means they're both panning out. But that's what you need to do, right? If we're going back to the premise of the original show, if we're going to have this notion of, you know, closing the gap and competing for titles, you know, who's better, T. Higgins or Justin Ross? Let's have that debate. Because the reality is I want to have that debate because it means both of them are playing at a high level. I hope we're having that debate in 3 years. Who's better, Tobias or Braylon James? Because it means they both panned out. That's how Notre Dame's get to that next level. Could you imagine having – think about this. Dante Moore at quarterback with Tobias Merriweather on one side, Braylon James on the other side, and either Rodney Gallagher or Jaden Greathouse. Maybe Jaden Greathouse is on one. I mean, because you're going to have this rotation, and that's who Dante Moore is throwing to. And, oh, by the way, you also have to deal with Eli Raridan and Cooper Flanagan and Kane Barong and Holden Stace. Good luck. And you know they're going to get a top tight end in 2024. I mean, at this point in time, Jared Parker's just trying to figure out which one of his top tight ends he wants to take.
Right.
Because as you've talked to those kids, like, they all love Notre Dame. It's just, okay, which one do you want? I mean, that's really where the position that they're in right now. So I just love the fact that those are both Notre Dame kids. And so we're going to get to find out who's better in a Notre Dame uniform. And that's going to be the key.
I went down a little rabbit hole earlier, Brian. I forgot to tell you this before. I fell into some Eli Raritan. I fell into some Eli Raritan basketball highlights from his senior goodness. Year, man. Oh man! Oh, but I had no idea that dude was like that. I was like,
I wrote about this. His junior year, he was like an all district like best. Like he was like an 18 point per game. Like he is a good basketball player. Like I could see him playing at the Division I level at like a Wichita State or something like that, right? Like I could see him doing that. I'm telling you, man, look, Notre Dame's gonna have a monster intramural basketball. Their football team could put a monster. I mean, if the men's basketball team wants someone to practice against the summer, they need to go run with the football team. You're gonna have like seven guys, you know, playing the post. You got Rodney Gallagher running the point. Get him in the class. It's like, okay, yeah, let's have some fun there. You know, and that's what you like to see. But no, he's a really good basketball player. And there's a lot of guys like that Notre Dame is recruiting, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Devin Houston's my enforcer down low. Okay. Don't you try come to the hoop, all right? JJ Starling, you come to the rim. I got a little something for you.
He's gonna get all his fouls, but he's gonna make him count.
And that's when JJ Starling raises up and bangs on him because they're still football players, and JJ Starling is a monster basketball recruit. So no, he's really good. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Belork asks, Coach D, would you like to have a quarterback's coach on staff? Yes, I would love to have a quarterback coach on staff. Unfortunately, Notre Dame has one. His name's Tommy Reese. Louis Saban says, I know the point where you're trying to make, Tom, but I you're never going to get me to agree to that. I know other people have different opinions. I don't. I'm perfectly fine with Tommy Reese being the quarterback's coach, and if they replace him with another OC that's a quarterback's coach, fine. I'm good with that. I prefer it. Louis Saban, I love he's got the Yoo-Hoo. Do you see this, Ryan? Yoo-Hoo avatar? Yeah. It's hilarious.
I haven't had Yoo-Hoo since I was a kid. Yep.
I haven't had Yoo-Hoo since I was coaching at Christopher Newport because you get it really cheap from down the road, and I didn't make a lot of money coaching D3 football, so you buy what you can get. I hate to do this to you guys, but would you say that a fair comp for Dante Moore is Everett Golson? More of a hurt you from the pocket thrower, but can burn you scrambling. I don't see a lot of similarities between Dante and Everett. I think they both throw a really pretty ball. That's about it. But their style of play is way different.
Mm-hmm.
Way different.
Yeah.
I think if you were to compare Dante to a Notre Dame quarterback, honestly, the closest comparison to Dante that Notre Dame has had is Jimmy Clausen. Except Dante's a better runner, a much better athlete. But, I mean, that's the only other person that as a high school player had the accuracy, the intelligence, the football IQ, the feel, all those things from the pocket. Everett as a high school player was a great passer. I mean, kid threw over 100 touchdowns in his career, had over 11,000 passing yards. He was a tremendous high school player, but he was a true dual threat guy. I think if anything, they took that away from him at Notre Dame. Dante is more of a, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to mentally and physically beat you because I'm just going to pick you apart. And he's the most natural passer that Notre Dame will have landed if they can get him since Jimmy Clausen. I mean, do you have anybody else that would be in that conversation that would be a comp to him since Jimmy? Because I think most of the other quarterbacks they've gotten are dual threats. And I think there's a misconception about Dante from some that he's a dual threat guy. I've had this conversation on Facebook. Notre Dame needs a pocket passer. Okay, what's your point? Well, you know, they shouldn't recruit Dante Moore. What makes you think Dante Moore's a dual threat quarterback? Well, you know why. And it's like, I don't know if you've watched him play, but Dante Moore's a pocket passer. 100% pocket passer. And most of the other top, Jerkovic wasn't, Buckner's not, Kaiser wasn't, Golson wasn't, Malik wasn't, Gunnar Keel maybe, but he's way better than Gunnar Keel was coming out. And, you know, I mean, you have to go back to Jimmy, in my opinion, to find someone that's on Dante's level as a pocket passer that Notre Dame has landed. And of course, they haven't landed Dante yet, but that would be the closest, Ryan. Anybody that you would –
I think as far as Notre Dame players, no, I don't think. I think he's a different type, you know, than Notre Dame has typically had. I mean, again, I think that there's also a misconception about Bryce Young that he's this dynamic runner, right? But that's not how he plays the game. He's
81 carries for 0 yards last year. I'm going to keep reminding people of that.
Yep. He's not. He's a pocket passer that happens to be a good extender when he feels like it. Like that's what he is, and I think that their games resent. I think Dante is a bigger version of a Bryce Young. I think that's a decent comparison. I really do.
Mm-hmm. All right, next question. Irishman 7114, hypothetically, if they miss on Dante Moore, get CJ Carr and Buckner is everything we think he can be. Does that put Notre Dame behind their program development and far behind, if yes? And how far behind? I don't think it puts them behind because I think CJ Carr is a really good player. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to deal with that hypothetical yet because, honestly, as much as I like CJ Carr, he's not Dante Moore. I know I don't know if I'm in the minority with that opinion or what, but I'm sorry. Dante Moore, I know that some of us are convincing ourselves he's not that kind of guy because he might not pick Notre Dame in your opinion, and I understand that. But look, Dante Moore is an elite game-changing quarterback that Notre Dame has to get. They have to get him because I like CJ Carr a lot. And CJ Carr, to me, is more about ceiling than he is the floor right now, Ryan. But to me, it doesn't put you behind CJ. Getting CJ Carr, not Dante, doesn't put you behind from where you are now. It's a great pickup. CJ Carr is a good top 50 football player.
Yeah,
but it Dante Moore, CJ Carr helps close the gap. Dante Moore erases it. That's the difference.
Sure. Sure. It's just a step up in the caliber. I mean, CJ Carr again, very good player. I mean, if I was Notre Dame, I would take him. Oh, 100%. I mean, so I'll say it like this, Brian, and it's not easy to compare guys that are 2024 kids to 2023. If he was in the class this year, I would probably prefer a CJ Carr to a Jackson Arnold's, in my opinion, you know, just kind of comparing those players to one another, right? So, yeah, I hope Notre Dame gets the ability to land a CJ Carr, but it's just he's not quite Dante Moore to me. He's a good player. Dante Moore, I think, is a game changer.
Yep. Sean Kane asks, who is the most important must-get of the trio of Gallagher, Greathouse, and Hanifin? I think we kind of have the same answer. It's Gallagher because he's the unique talent.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a different player. John Leahy, will Dante make a decision this summer or could his recruitment continue in the fall? I expect him to make a decision this summer, summer.
Same.
Spring technically doesn't begin until, mid-June? Or end of mid-June, I think. So probably summer is when spring doesn't end till mid-June. So I would imagine it'll now be a summer decision, but I don't think he'll go into the fall. I don't.
Same. Agree.
Irishman 7114, do you think that Notre Dame can supplant Ohio State as the premier team in the Midwest this year, or do they need this year and another year of recruiting and matching on the field?
Interesting question. I think that it's more about the long term than short term, right? I think if Notre Dame has number one class, like let's say this year, or at least a better class than Ohio State, you beat them in one cycle, right? But I think that when you're talking about long-term success, it's about stringing things together. So I think that it's going to be a little more of a long-term than short-term to kind of prove that, because Ohio State is, we always talk about like, what is a blue blood? Ohio State is one of the premier programs in college football, right? So to supplant them, I don't think it's just one recruiting cycle. I don't think it's one season. I think it's stringing multiple seasons and recruiting classes together to supplant them in that regard.
Right. I want to comment on something too, because I see a lot of this. Brandon says something. James Lawrence Zensi says, can we really let a recruit as high as Justin Scott in Illinois not commit? The question from my understanding was about Vipers and edge players, right? And so my focus in that question was on edge players. It was on the three ends, the three guys that are ends or ends, big tackles. Justin Scott's a different kind of player. Justin Scott's a 6'5", 310-pound nose, maybe could play some three technique, right? Like he's more athletic than, you know, the kid we're talking about today. So I want to make sure it's clear. I'm talking about edge players. That question was about ends. Mm-hmm. My understanding from Notre Dame is that they absolutely are looking at Justin Scott and would continue to look at Justin Scott, even if Owen Wafel can pick, because the thing that they're telling Justin Scott is they're actually telling him that he's a three technique.
Yes, they are.
Which is interesting because he's an athletic kid for his size. So if you land Owen Wafel, who they like as a nose, if they land him, then he doesn't play the same position as Justin Scott per se. So it's going to make it interesting. And the other part that we're going to talk about during the show is what the numbers are going to look like in that class. But I just want to make sure that I'm clear on that, because it seems like there's a lot of people that were confused by my comments, or not confused, but like I wasn't clear enough in it. I was talking about edge players. So I want to make sure that we're, because there's a couple other interior guys that they're talking to in the 2024 class as well.
Yeah. The Breeling kid from Modern Day out in Cali too.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a couple more of those types.
Yeah, because he's a 6'5", 320-pound kid. Here's an interesting question from Mason Plummer. Mason says, who will be drafted the highest in the NFL, Styles, Merriweather, or James?
Am I assuming that they're all hit their ceiling?
Let's say they all at least come close. They get to 90 to 95% of the because I think is, you know, that's, yeah, let's go with that. First of all, can I say this? If that's true, how freaking fun is it going to be to watch that receiving core?
At least for a year, right?
There's at least going to be a one year. Yeah, there's going to be a 1 year where they're all together, you know, potentially two, but 1 year for sure where they're going to be all together.
I guess if they all reach their ceiling, I guess I'd say Braylon James, but I'd still would probably defer to Styles, man. Like, I just, there's something about Styles as a route runner, understanding to play the position, on top of being what I think is a really good athlete, a really flexible athlete. There's just something about Styles that's a little different to me. I think that kid is a potential high round draft pick, like top two round type of kid. I think he
you're
is.
Real. You're very. You've been consistent. This isn't the first time you've answered the question that way.
Yeah.
So you've been very consistent on that. There's no doubt about it. I would probably still go with Merriweather, but again, part of this comes down to, well, I don't know what the needs are going to be in the NFL draft, right? There's always that kind of cop out answer that I could use, but I still go with Merriweather. I just graded him out the highest. I think he has a high ceiling. I think he reminds me a lot of Justin Jefferson coming out of high school. You know, we'll see if he can develop the same explosiveness that Justin Jefferson had. But, you know, I think the thing that comes about, too, is a lot of it's going to go to 40 times. Because as we've seen, I mean, T. Higgins fell out of the first round for a number of reasons, one of which is he ran a high 4.5, right? If T. Higgins ran a 4.47, he doesn't fall as low as he did. And he's turned out to be a pretty darn good football player, right?
Yep.
So I think it comes down to that. I think – and that's also, you're going to have to think about this decision too, comes down to like personal preference. I've always admitted my bias is towards taller receivers. I like taller receivers who can run routes, catch the ball. That's just my personal preference. Some people like smaller guys. So that's going to factor into it as well. But that's a really good question. I'm going to go with Merriweather, but I wouldn't be shocked by any of them. And if I were to say who would be the guy that I think if they all reach their potential could end up, if they all reach their full potential, it could end up being Braylon James. Because the one thing about Braylon, I think he's going to run a fast 40 time when he gets to college and gets in the strength program. Mm-hmm. I think he'll probably run the fastest 40 time of all of them if he pans out and stays healthy. I could be wrong on that. Lorenzo's fast, but I don't know if he's that, like, I don't know if he's like low 4.41 fast. I'm not sure about that yet.
No, he's more like a I imagine him like a 4.48, 4.47, like a 4.4 high type of kid, which is fine.
Yeah.
Style.
Yes. That's fast. That's fast. I mean, that's the thing is we're not talking camp, you know, Under Armour opening times or, you know, rivals camp times. We're talking like reality times at this point in time. So I just want to make sure that we're clear on that. Here's a two-part question from Maddie K. I haven't seen Maddie K in the chat for a while. It says, Brian, you are one of the firm believers that an elite pass rush can help cover a weaker secondary. Notre Dame has an elite pass rush this upcoming season, and their secondary isn't weak, but our rush is nasty. Where I'm going is where we have been recruiting elite D linemen forever, and I've been seeing the type of recruitment with the receivers, especially guys like Flores, James, Greathouse, Flores, and hopefully Tate. Was there a third part to that question that I just didn't see? Let me go up here and look, because I'm not quite sure what the question is or what the comment is. So just give me a second if I can find it. I guess I'm not really understanding the question, Ryan. Are you picking up what he's saying? So there's okay, hold on. Is he talking about Ohio State? I'm not quite sure what the question is. But yes, I am a believer that an elite pass rush can overcome not having a great secondary. What I would not say is I don't think it can overcome a weak secondary. I think you have a weak secondary, you're still going to get burned. And I think Oklahoma State showed that in the bowl game. They were able to neutralize the pass game got the quarterback out of the pocket, quick game. They did different things to neutralize the pass game, and they're able to overcome a weak secondary. You can't overcome a weak secondary, in my opinion, not to win a championship. But you don't have to have if you have a good secondary and a great pass rush and a good scheme, I absolutely think you can win a championship that way. There's no doubt in my mind, right? I don't know if you agree or disagree with that. But I look at Alabama in 2020. Alabama did not have a great secondary in 2020. That a great secondary player But as Florida showed in the SEC title game, if you can attack other guys, you may even be able to get a shot on Patrick Surtain every now and then. But there's other guys in that secondary that could be exposed if you can't get to the quarterback. And then they were able to scheme their way into some big plays. But that's my stance on that.
No, I think that that's a good example. I would say even Alabama this year, if their wide receivers didn't get hurt, I mean, that Alabama secondary was one of the worst I've seen in some time, man. Like, it was not great. I mean, Josh Jobe got benched. They had the other quarterback who got drafted was hurt during the game. So, like, they had McKinstry playing, who's, like, a freshman, and they have the two safeties that are decent players. But, yeah, I think that there's definitely ways to get around it.
Let's go to – we have a super chat down here from ICURN with Irish Luck. I know Jimmy was more accurate, but would you say from an athletic standpoint and leadership, Dante would be close to Brady Quinn, could be a combination of the two and would be special? So I want to make sure I'm clear. We were talking about as style of play, right? Yeah. I wasn't talking about leadership. We're talking about as a passer and style of play. Everybody knows my stance on Jimmy Clausen. Loved Jimmy Clausen as a passer of the football. Did not like Jimmy Clausen as a leader. So to your point, I would say, yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. I think Dante is certainly a better athlete than Jimmy Clausen, but he's not Deshaun Kizer. He's not Everett Colson. He's not Malik Zaire. He's not Tyler Buchner. He doesn't have the size that Phil Dracovic had with that athleticism. I think, you know, Brady would be a good comp from style of play, of course, but then their bodies are different. And I would say, obviously, Dante has a much better feel for just the throwing game than Brady did coming out of high school, right? You know, Brady eventually got there. But, I mean, I think that's a unique point is, you know, that's a heck of a quarterback. If you can combine the leadership that Brady Quinn brought to the table with the passing ability of Jimmy Clausen, that's a pretty good flipping quarterback right there, man.
It's a first-round quarterback.
There's no doubt about it. First-round quarterback. That's probably winning a championship at some point in time with those guys too. So, Kaiser Soze says, Brian, I haven't heard you mention tempo at the offense. May have missed it. Does the offense have the personnel to run up-tempo at times? I would encourage you to listen to Friday's mailbag because we did actually had a very long conversation about this in Friday's mailbag. So I just wanted to bring up your question so that I could point you to that. I'm going to get the last couple here, but then we got to get out of here. Because we're going to be back here at 3 p.m. to be on the show. Troy McIntosh says, I think they can recruit that much talent. He's talking about the D-line. This is a comment from Troy. This is back to the D-line comment. When you look at Jason Moore, Keon Keeley, Tyson Ford, could be that level of talent all on the same team, maybe even Aiden Gobira. I think that's kind of where I'm at. You know, and then if they can follow that up in 2024 with a Nigel Smith and a Elijah rushing, and now all of a sudden you're talking about 3 years in a row, you've landed guys that are top 100 players with the potential to be first round picks. The thing is, though, is, you know, you're still at the point recruiting wise where your hit rate has to be pretty high. I think that is the thing that, you know, where Georgia just has been doing it so long that it's kind of like they only need a guy or two per class to pan out. Notre Dame is still at a point that they need a little bit higher success rate. But that's where I come from is I do think they can recruit. I mean, there's no reason you can't. Nigel Smith and Elijah Rushing, great students, great Notre Dame fits. There's no – Justin Scott, same deal. Mm-hmm. Keon Keeley, great student, private school. I mean, these kids have always been there. This is what bothered me. They've always been there for the taking. It's just Notre Dame wasn't willing to go after them. And Marcus Freeman has changed that big time. So that's why I do think – cornerback, I don't think they're going to have elite corner. I don't think they're ever going to have the kind of secondaries that Ohio State was putting on the field in this decade. I don't see that consistently. But can they put secondaries on the field consistently like they did in 2018? You're darn right they can. And I think that's good enough if you can be elite in the front seven, because I think they can recruit linebacker as well as anybody, and I think they can recruit defensive line at an elite level. But it's going to take work. That's the thing. It's going to take work. And it takes a person like a Marcus Freeman to do that. I don't think they could have done that under Brian Kelly. I don't think they had a dynamic. And that's not a shot on Brian Kelly, because you could insert other, you know, Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell. I think you need a dynamic personality at head coach at Notre Dame to really recruit that way. Lou Holtz is a dynamic personality. He could close. Marcus Freeman takes a completely different role as a recruiter than Lou Holtz did. Lou Holtz was a closer, but he would walk into your living room and have your whole family ready to put pads on by the time he left, right? And so Coach Freeman does it differently, but it works. And I do think that that is the case. And Brian Kelly was not that guy.
Yep.
That's going to do it for today's show, everybody. Like my guy Mace AK says, join the message board, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a five-star review. Go Irish. And he says, oh, and see you at 3 p.m. for the second show. That is definitely true. We'll be back here in about 50 minutes to carry Owen Wafel's commitment. He will be deciding between Notre Dame, Michigan State, Iowa, and a few others. And so we will carry what he has to say, talk about his recruitment, and then talk about what it means, and then what's next for Notre Dame, one way or the other. So, everybody, thanks for joining us. We will see you again here very, very soon. Go grab some lunch, grab a drink, rest, get some relaxation, power up, come back for show number two. We will see you guys very, very soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.